Kad uznamo te
navike
uspješnih Vaishnava,
kad uznamo model od
nekoga kao što je
our friend,
naš prijatelj
Bhakta Stephen Covey.
And I say
Bhakta Stephen because if you remember that, he's shaved up.
On je obrijane glave.
He's a baldy.
Čelav je.
You know that God created some heads perfect.
Neke glave
savršene. The rest he covered with hair.
A ostale pokrije s kosom.
So Bhakta Stephen had one of those perfect heads.
Savršene glava.
But anyway, the whole point is, be aware that none of these people can compare to the messages that Guru Prabhupada gave us. He gave us everything in very simplified form. You can't hide Krishna and follow the regulative principles and engage in devotional service. Your life will be perfect. Life is already perfect. But in developing our service for Srila
Prabhupada,
we can use various models and tools to help us expedite the process. It's a long, long road to Tripurari. It's a long road to perfection. So today we're going to discuss the first habit, these are called the principles of personal management. Now yesterday we discussed the first two habits. Who remembers what they are? What was habit number one? Be proactive. What does that mean?
Što to znači biti proaktivan?
Who can tell me?
Kom to može reći?
How many people took notes yesterday?
Ljudi su više zapisivali.
Not too many.
Previše.
I'll tell you something about note taking.
Generally speaking, when we hear a presentation,
we have such good memories. We have such good brains. That we generally remember about 13% of what we hear.
See,
this is Kali Yuga. We can't even remember what we ate for lunch yesterday. We can't remember what time we went to sleep last night. The memory is very short. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya. Trying all five sasobya kalo as many gajana. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that we're the fools who stuck around after Satya Yuga. No, we wanted to stay in the material world. After Treta Yuga, we still didn't learn our lesson. We went right through Dwapara Yuga, still couldn't pick it up, and here we are in Kali Yuga. Finally, we become human beings again, or hopefully we have. At least we have two legs and two arms and two forms. Have any of you read from Hari Sari's diary?
Any
anybody knows Hari's story, story about Guru Gopal? Very wonderful diary with very intimate details of his service as a servant of Srila Prabhupada. Without that diary, it's doubtful that Hari's story would have remembered all of those details. And one of the things that he wrote down was about Srila Prabhupada keeping a diary, keeping a journal of his activities. So, in the same way, we should not be shy about keeping our own journal throughout history. You will find that all of the greatest leaders, so-called, for whatever it is, they were empowered one way or another, like Julius Caesar, Napoleon. These people definitely were leaders of some type. And they all invariably had a habit of keeping a journal of their activities and analyzing them. So it's a good thing. So what we're going to discuss today follows from habit one, being proactive, and then habit two. What is habit two that we discussed yesterday? Who can say? Begin with the end in mind. Srila Prabhupada also taught us that, right? What is the end? Who can say? Our goal, but what is the reality? What is the end of life? It's death. Birth, death, disease, and old age. The end is death. Prabhupada taught us to think like who's our role model as far as death is concerned? What does the Srimad Bhagavatam talk about? Somebody who's about to die, right? What's his name? Maharaj Parikshit. He's about to die, and what does he do for the last 7 days of his life? Knowing he's about to die, what does he do? A constant hearing of Krishna Katha. So, what can we say about ourselves? We've got 7 more days. How many people here can guarantee they have 7 more days to live? Anybody has a written guarantee? That man is back there. Huh? If he dies tomorrow, we can laugh because we thought he had 7 days. Okay, he won't die though. He'll live forever. But a Vaishnava should act and think as if he's going to die at any moment. And therefore he should be always alert and conscious to remember Krishna. Because Janma Lava Parakpunsam Ante Narayana Sriti. The perfection of your Janma is to remember Krishna, Narayana, at the time of death. So that's the end in mind. We have to begin our lives and plan our lives, our personal management, based upon the idea that we're going to die. A Vaishnava dies to live. We're not pessimistic. We're not absorbed in gloom philosophy and doom philosophy. Ours is a philosophy of joy, a philosophy of life, but we want quality life, not this temporary life. We want eternal life. So, therefore, we intelligently acknowledge and prepare for eternal life. And we can prepare even now. It is not that we have to wait to death. Anyone, Karmana, Manasa, Gira, Nikilas, Bapya, Bastasu, Jivan Mukta, Sarupite. Even in this lifetime, as your body, mind, and words are absorbed in thinking of Krishna, that even in this lifetime you're liberated, even within the body, even though your body is rocking, it's dying at every moment. still you can be liberated. That's the good news. Bad news is the body is going to die. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how much life insurance you've got. Doesn't matter how big a bank account or how many friends or how famous you are or whatever. The bad news is you're going to die. But the good news is you can live eternally. Isn't that fun? By becoming transcendental. And these principles of personal
management,
this is the third habit. Habit one says, in the computer analogy, what is the computer metaphor? Habit one says what? Be proactive. I'm the programmer, right? In the computer metaphor, I'm the programmer. I'm the person who has to write the program. If I don't write the program, no program. I have to do it. I have to take charge of my life. Habit 2 says, what? Create the program. You're the programmer, so create it. Plan it. What do you need in your life? What is it that you should write? Everyone should have a vision of your life, isn't it? A vision of what you want, a vision and a mission. So you have to go ahead and create the program. Now what do you think habit 3 is? Anyone want to guess what is habit 3? What is the computer metaphor? You get 3 chances. First 2 don't count. What is habit 3 in the computer metaphor? Habit 1 says you're the programmer. Habit 2 says create the program. But what does habit 3 say? Yes, execute the program. It's an exe file. Execute it. So this is actually very, very valuable to devotees, this particular habit. Therefore, I wanted to spend the whole evening here, at the hour and a half of it. Actually, I've been through this course. It took us three days, and even then we couldn't cover the material. It's actually a 4-day course, about 6 or 7 hours a day. Just an overview. And at a later date, if anybody is interested with a smaller group or whatever, we should come back and do a full course. But that would require you're all getting a manual and a little bit different settings than this. So anyway, that's another option. But this particular habit I consider to be very, very important. What we're talking about here is not your traditional time management. Many, many people in the world go through, many big business people, they go to many professionals, they go to many seminars, there are many, many books on what's called time management. Now, time management is based on the control paradigm. We discussed yesterday, Ishwaro Hum. I'm the controller. And I want to control my time. One of the most famous books ever written was written in the 60s by a man named Alan Lakin. And the name of the book was How to Get Control of Your Time and Your Life. The basic idea of that is that if you can just get control of your life and your time, then you can do more things in a shorter period of time and you'll be more successful. So there's two assumptions here. A, that I can control time, and B, more is better. If I get more things done in a shorter period of time, my life is better. That's the control paradigm. I'm the controller. So we all know that
mi svi znamo
we're not the controller,
mi
right?
Kontroli, zar ne?
Who is Parameshwara?
Ko je Parameshwara?
Everybody, who's Parameshwara?
Ko je Parameshwara?
Krishna! That's right, that's Asma. Right. You got Asma. It. So here we have given another metaphor. You can see here, what is this? Who knows what this is? It's a compass, right. And what is this? A clock. So there's two things, basically. There's the clock and the compass. So we're talking here about time management versus the Krishna consciousness concept of time management or life leadership. So life leadership means guiding our life by a compass, by true north principles, whereas time management is the control paradigm, the clock.
The clock here,
getting control of our time. I believe that if you do lead your life in the proper way, you will be able to get more quality things done, and you'll be far more satisfied in your Krishna consciousness, and just in general, you'll be much happier in your life than trying to control and power trip everything. But this is the basic difference between time management and life leadership. This was a little quote by Goethe, famous German, was he German? Must be, huh? All the intelligent philosophers. I think so, most of them. I quote a few of them here. Things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things that matter least. How many of us find ourselves in our daily lives getting caught up in the thick of thin things? You got that? How many of us get caught up in the thick of thin things? We find that things that are good, they're actually good things to do, and we do a lot of good things, but they prevent us from doing the best things. Ever find that? You're doing, a devotee's life is full of good things. Whatever we do for Krishna is definitely good. But so often, in our heart of hearts, we'd like to someday paint a beautiful picture of Krishna. We'd like, actually, we're doing something, whatever it may be, selling sweets for the temple, and that's necessary. Or distributing books, that's very, very necessary. Or we're making life members, but actually what we really want to do is we want to cook a lasagna for Krishna. In our heart of hearts, that's what we really want to do for Krishna. And we just don't have the time to learn to cook. Because we're doing so many good things, but the thing that would really give us a lot of satisfaction and which we could really do in love for Krishna, we have no time for. And we don't plan. We don't plan our lives. So this whole first things first is about planning to put first things first in our lives. Some important questions that you ought to ask yourself. One is, what one thing that I'm not doing now, one thing that I'm not doing it now, but if I did do it, it would really make a significant difference both in my personal and my professional life. Professional life means either as a lawyer or a doctor or an engineer or whatever
service.
We have our kind of personal sadhana, reading, etc. And then we have the service that we do for the mission. So it would make a tremendous difference. What's that one thing? What is the one thing that would bring about a similar result in your business life or your professional life, as I said? So just think about that for a second. Everybody, take a second and think about one thing. Write it down if you like. What's that one thing? It would make a real difference in your life. You're not doing it now, but if you did do it, it would really make a big difference. I know myself, I'd like to spend a lot more time reading so that I can preach better. I'd like to learn more verses. There's a number of things I'd like to do. I don't seem to get time to do it. And I know it's not good. I struggle with it. I'm working somehow or other to squeeze out some more time from my schedule. Because I know that if I could present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness nicely to the devotees, they would get very inspired. It would mean a lot to me that I could serve the Vaishnavas in that way. But somehow or other, those good things just keep getting in the way of the most important things. Habit 1 says, you're the creator, you're in charge, it empowers you to choose principle-centered habits. Habit 2 is the mental creation. It's based on imagination, to create a mission statement, to envision your future. You have to use your creative imagination. You have to use a little bit of visionary power, the ability to envision, create with our minds what we cannot see with our eyes. That's habit 2. Conscience and value. Habit 3 is the physical creation. This is the actual execution. How we can systematically develop better habits of working. Fulfillment or actualization. Natural emergence of habits in 1 and 2. Habit 3 naturally follows. It's the achievement of the private victory. We talked about the public victory and private victory. And how you cannot achieve public victory until you first learn to control your own mind and senses. You see anybody in history, again, it may be people that are not so, you know, in one sense, respectable, like, whatever, Adolf Hitler, Napoleon, Julius Caesar, Dwight D. Eisenhower, I don't know, whoever it is, any of the great leaders throughout time, one quality that they have had is very focused on what they wanted to do, and everything else was second, and by that focus, they were actually able to control the senses. Who was one of the best controllers of his senses in history? We read about him in Srimad Bhagavatam. He had a young son who we worship every morning. What was his name? Hiranyakashipu, right? Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means soft bed. He was the biggest demon ever. But he was also expert at controlling his senses. And I have, in my service, I have dealt with, in India, the biggest industrialist, multi-millionaire, billionaire. I daily meet in Bombay
one of the wealthiest, in the top 20 wealthiest people in the world. He comes to our temple. He's the wealthiest Indian in the world. And he's a very sense-controlled person. He's, you know, every day he comes to the temple for 15 minutes at the same time every day. He's got a very regulated schedule. So if you want to be successful at anything, this is the natural emergence of habits 1 and 2. How to get control in the proper way. Exercising of your independent will toward becoming principle-centered. God-centered. Isa vasyam dam sarvam. We'll talk about that tomorrow. God-centered, principle-centered living. Discipline. This is, you know, so many, I travel around the world and I consult with a lot of devotees, especially in the area of management. And last year in particular, actually the year before, Naveen Krishna and I, Naveen Krishna is the minister for administration. So we went around different countries. I won't name the countries because it might incriminate the people. But we met a lot of leaders and gave a lot of seminars. And one qualification or one problem that we found in a lot of the temple, a lot of disciples, a lot of leaders, nice devotees, nice people. But they were very weak in their discipline. When you become a disciple, the very root or the very word discipline comes from that root word disciple. It means you have to, if you're going to become a disciple, you have to accept that you have to be disciplined, especially in the area of sadhana bhakti. You cannot be a leader in ISKCON and not have good sadhana. You can't be a leader to your temple, you can't be a leader to your family, you can't be a leader to your children, unless you set a good example of Krishna consciousness. Really that important. Disciple to a set of principles. Everybody's a disciple in one way or another. Disciple to a set of values. Disciple to a subordinate goal or a person who represents that goal. If we want to achieve success, then we actually have to discipline ourselves. We have to take the trouble. We have to expend the energy. We have to focus. You have to pick yourself up because no one's going to cry for you. When the airplane takes off, you're on your own. You have to fly your own airplane. If there's any trouble in the sky, you're on your own. At the time of death, you have to remember Krishna. It's not, oh gee, Krishna. I just couldn't do it, the temple president fell down, I just couldn't do it because, that girl, she was so attractive, or, I didn't chant 16 rounds because, I didn't have a taste, and therefore, can you forgive me? Could I still get some prasadam, could I still get credit, could I still go back to Godhead? No! No! Unless you either remember Krishna at the time of death, or at least, unless you are sincere enough, you tried so hard, even if you couldn't achieve it, but you tried so hard repeatedly, and therefore you attracted Krishna's love. Krishna is attracted by your sincerity, that's true, there is no doubt about that. Even if you can't be 100% Superman, successful, but if you try, But we have to become a disciple and exercise some degree of discipline. Disciple to a philosophy, certainly wear that one. If you are an effective manager of yourself, your discipline comes from within. The deep inner core in your heart, the conviction you have decided, you've taken proactive charge, you're not reactive. You don't just let time fly by and react to things as they happen to you. But you've decided, in my life, I'm going to do the right things now. I'm not going to wait till Christmas. I'm not going to wait till spring. I'm going to take charge of my life and do the right things. That's proactivity. I'm not going to watch things go by and wonder what happened. I'm not going to miss the chance. Human life is so valuable, you can get kicked out at any moment, and if you don't take the opportunity, it's so true, gentlemen. It's so true, my friend. This is the most important thing, that human life is so valuable. Don't miss the chance, you're not an animal. You have the power to become Krishna-conscious in this lifetime, pure devotee of Krishna, but you have to work for it. Discipline comes from that conviction, that inner conviction within. It is a function of your independent will. You are a disciple, a follower of your own deep values and their source. You've chosen your values. Every young person should be trained. Every old person too. Especially the young person, they've got their whole lives before them. And they should be trained how that 3% who were fixed on what they wanted to be, they were able to achieve something. And that's sometimes what we miss, the tools and the encouragement to make a plan. You have the will, a proactive person, Krishna-conscious person, has the will and the integrity to subordinate your feelings to your impulses, your moods, to those values that you've created. I don't know if you can see that. Can you see that at the back there? Huh? A little difficult, okay. Colors are wrong. Subordination requires a purpose or a mission. To really subordinate yourself to something higher, you require a purpose, a mission, a clear sense of direction and value, a burning yes inside that makes it possible to say no to other things. And here's something for you. How many times when you go out and preach, you find the people say, it's too difficult because I have to say there's so many no's. I can't no to illicit sex, no to intoxication, no to meat eating. There's so many no's. You're all, you know, anti-life. I want to enjoy my life, right? And people can't understand how you can enjoy life without eating. Or intoxication, or drugs. Isn't it? You ever find out how many people you're preaching have had your friends or your relatives or other people tell you that I don't think I can follow because there's too many no's? How many have heard that before? I think all of us have heard. I remember I became a devotee, and practically the first week I was going out on book distribution on Sankirtan. We were a very poor temple at that time. We had to hitchhike to get downtown. Our temple was out of the city. And to get downtown for Sankirtan, we didn't have a Sankirtan bus. Like you have these nice vehicles now. We in those days, we didn't have anything. We had to hitchhike to get downtown. So I got picked up by a truck driver. And here I was in my doting curtain those days, we didn't put on jutsus. We didn't put on shirt and tie to go on sanctum, we wore this dress. So I don't know why the guy picked me up, because he was really amazed. As soon as I got in the truck, he said, "Where are you from, Mars?" He thought I was from some college or something. It was rag day. You know how you go to college for the first time? They put you through a whole bunch of games and everything. So I explained to him, "No, I'm a monk. He's from India. Very old culture." And I said, "We follow four regulator principles. We don't eat meat, we don't have illicit sex, we don't take intoxication, we don't gamble." "What? So how do you live?" People base their lives on these things. And this was, you know, like 30 years ago, so in those days, even more so. Nowadays, people have understood there's a little relative value to celibacy or to abstaining from meeting. But how do we tell people to say no? How do we say no? The secret is that when that yes inside is so strong, yes, I want to be Krishna conscious. I don't want any more birth in this miserable material world. I want to transcend the body. I want to go back home, back to Godhead. When that yes is so strong that you can taste it in your mouth, petrolulium of the ekalamulium is greedy for Krishna consciousness. Right?
Amen.
When that yes is so strong, no, very
easy.
Insignificant. Because you really want Krishna consciousness. And you have to try to develop that. If you don't have it, you have to try and work towards that. Associate with people. It's the power to act with integrity to your proactive first creation. We're going to talk about that word. Integrity. That's an important word. Time management.
Menadžiranje vremena.
Now, over the years, people have developed different systems of time management. And they're generally known to be at least three and now four generations, successive improvements on how to manage your time. The first one is when you've got a lot of things to do and you just write them down on pieces of paper. Little notes and checklists. And sometimes some people are smart. They have a big piece of foolscap and write everything down, whatever they have to do during the day. Have any of you ever done that? Check notes? Checklist, the things to do. Okay, good. Progress to generation one. Time management. How many of you have written things down on little pieces of paper and then very quickly lost them? A lot of us do that, right? Yeah, welcome to the club. Generation one. Calendars and appointment books. That was when we got a little more intelligent. And we started keeping a diary, a calendar, and then we had some appointment. Instead of writing it on a piece of paper, putting it in our pocket, it got sent to the laundry and we lost it and we forgot about the appointment. And you know, we made an enemy of that person. Instead of that, we got a diary and we wrote it down in the diary. Tuesday, 7:30, I'll meet with, you know, Alfred or whatever. Dr. Jim. Whoever. We wrote it down. So that was some progress in getting control of our time, time management. Then the next generation, now this was the real advancement. This is when there was quantum advancement. Now this is a tongue twister. Let's see if I can say it properly. Prioritization. Usually I have trouble with that. Prioritization. 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 That's when we took our checklist and we wrote A, B, C. A for important, B for not so important, and B for not important. And it was A1, B1, B2. And practically, it gave some little bit of a focus in our lives. We were able to do away with things that are not so important, and we were able to get more things done that were important. We still didn't really have any direction in our lives, but at least we were doing some important things. Setting goals, both long and short-term goals, that's very, very important. If you don't set goals for yourself, then you could just discover America, like Columbus. He didn't really know where he was going. He was lucky he discovered America. But most people who set out on a boat and don't know what destination they're going to, they don't get anywhere. You know, nobody gets in an airplane and just starts flying. You know, you don't go to the airport and go up to the counter and say, I'd like the ticket to anywhere, please. You have to give them a destination. I want a ticket to London. I want a ticket to Bombay. You have to have some goal if you really want to get anywhere. So that was advancement. But still, it was short of having a life which was principle-centered. If you're going very efficiently, you're doing very well, driving very efficiently down the coast of France, you're having a nice drive, you're stopping in, you know, all the different port cities, and you're got a very good car, you're getting good mileage, the weather is very nice, but your goal is to get to Copenhagen, then you may be driving very efficiently, but you're still, you've got no direction. You're not going to get to where you need to get, and your whole journey is actually wasted. So, the fourth generation of time management we're calling life management. And that, it's a quantum difference between life management and the other three generations. Life management means rather than focusing on things and time, we focus on preserving and enhancing relationships. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that we really have of value in our lives is our relationship with devotees or people. What did Srila Prabhupada tell us at the end of his life? Of course, we all know the answer to this. We've heard it so many times. But let's hear it one more time. If you love me, then please go out and distribute more sweets. If you love me, go out and distribute more books. That's what he said, right? No. If you love me, please read my book. That's important, right? What did he say? Cooperate and work together with other people, with other devotees. Develop your relationship with other devotees. Because if we can't get along together nicely, we're not going anywhere and we're not going to do anything. So real life management, you manage things. You manage money, but you leave people. There's a whole lot of difference between, you don't manage people. Have you ever tried, how many of you have children? Have you ever tried to manage your relationship with your child? A pressure about a millimeter or two just beneath the skin. And all you have to do is cut it, and within about 1 minute or so, you're dead. Because it will just come gushing out. So when something's very, very crucial to a person's rice bowl, as they say in India or in the East, something really is important to us when it's a jugular issue. It's very, very important. Have you ever tried to manage that? You know, like your son, you've got to go to work, and you're late for work, and your son says, "Dad, I really need to speak to you. It's important." And you're rushing out the door, and you say, "Okay, son, what is it? I've got 3 minutes. You know, tell it to me. Let's get it over with." That's trying to manage your time efficiently. You know there's something very deep in his heart that he wants to speak to you about, but you're trying to manage it efficiently, and it just doesn't work. You can't talk your way out of situations which you acted your way into. It takes time. You've got to deal with people in a personal way. You've got to learn to do that effectively. And accomplishing results by enhancing relationships, preserving relationships. Now this is what is known as the time management matrix. And if you learn nothing else in this course, I'd like you to learn about this time management matrix. Now this is as old as the hills. This is a very old thing. It's as old as Croatia. Very old. It's not Stephen Covey or anybody. Many people know about this time management matrix. But we're going to put things in perspective here. There are four quadrants to this matrix. 1, 2, 3, and 4. So I'm going to go from 1 to 3 to 4 to 2. Now, quadrant number one, can you see that at the back there? Can you see this here? No? This says urgent. And this says important. Quadrant one is that quadrant in our life of time, which is both urgent and important. Things that happen are both urgent, very, very urgent. Like, what are some examples of things that are very urgent in our lives? You can't avoid them. It can be some simple things. What about a telephone ringing? Is that urgent? When your telephone starts ringing, what do you have to do? You have to pick it up right now. It's urgent. You can't avoid it. It may be important or it may not, but it's sure urgent. Your neighbor comes in and says that there's a big can of paint in your backyard and it's on fire. And it's burning up against your house. Is that urgent? Is it important? Okay, there are many things in our lives that are both urgent and important. Some of those things might be crises. Generally, crises take up the balance of our day. If you're a manager or a leader, many of you know that you can expect your whole day to be filled with different things so that at the end of the day, you're really not sure what you've accomplished. Because it's just been one little thing after another that you had to do that really wasn't something that you wanted to do, but it just came to you without your desiring it. It just happened, and it was a crisis. In fact, in ISKCON, we become practically addicted to crisis management. How many of you heard that term, crisis management? How many temple presidents are here today? Only one? Two? Do you know what I mean about crisis? He knows. Crisis management. How many of you are in business or in your job? You have some area of responsibility. How many have some work in your, an authority or something in your job? Do you find that you get involved in dealing with crisis one after the other? Does it seem like that? So, there's a kind of addiction to crisis management, actually. It feels like, hey, I'm important. If I weren't around, things wouldn't get done. People depend on me. There's kind of an addiction there. Srila Prabhupada used to notice, if you've ever seen a manager, I haven't got a chair here, but you see people sitting down and they start shaking their leg. You ever seen that? He's already shaking his leg, he's called, well, writes things down. I would say, stop that. Just a mode of passion. But it's crisis management. You get into a rush. There's an adrenaline rush when you start doing a lot of things in your life. You're solving this problem or that problem or this one, and everybody's dependent on you. But what happens in crisis management? What generally happens after a short period of time? They all? You get burned out, you get fried, as the Iskcon expression goes, you get frustrated, tormented, you can't last long in quadrant one. Pressing problem, deadline driven projects, these are all urgent and important. The next quadrant here is urgent, but not important. Urgent. But it's not important. Quadrant 1 is urgent and important. Quadrant 3 is urgent, but not important. This is known as the quadrant of Maya, or the quadrant deception. Why? Because it looks very much like quadrant 1. It looks very close to quadrant 1. It's urgent, and we sometimes think it's important. But there's a lot of things that take place in quadrant 3 that are actually not important, like different kinds of interruptions. We're doing some work and we're trying to concentrate and someone walks into our room, our little child wants to have his shoelaces tied. You know, he's in there, he's disturbed our work, it's urgent, we have to take care of it. But, you know, maybe if we could train him to tie his own shoelaces, or maybe his mother could do it for him, it's not that important for us to be doing that when we're trying to do our tax return. Or we're trying to thank your time for it, to send to Hare Krishna, or, you know, whatever it is, something very urgent and important, and we get interrupted. Some telephone calls. You know, that I just was at a seminar and someone told a story about the governor. Pardon me. It was the president. It was about a movie, and the man was the president of the United States. He was a big politician, and he was in the shower. He was a very busy man. He was a big politician, and he was in the shower. He was putting on soap, had foam all over his body, having a nice shower, and his assistant came to him and said, there's a telephone call. He said, who is it? He said, it's Time Magazine. They want to speak to you. So for this big politician, he thought, Time Magazine wants to speak to me. It was around November. They were looking for the Man of the Year award. You know, Time Magazine, every year they have someone who's the Man of the Year. You've seen that in Time Magazine? Anyway, he wanted his image to be enhanced. So he got out of the shower, and he still had his towel around, he had foam all over his body, he picked up the phone, hello? Yes, this is Time Magazine. We'd like to sell you a subscription for only $1.79 an issue.
dajem 7 dolara, želim poslati pretplatu na taj
magazin. It was a phone call, it seemed like it was important, but it certainly was urgent, but it wasn't important. So sometimes that happens, we get interrupted by phone calls. A lot of people, they train themselves, or they train their friends or whatever, they keep an answering machine. They screen their calls, or they have their calls come to them only between 4 and 5 in the evening. Something like that. Some mail is also not necessary for it. Some report, some meeting. There's a saying that the governing body commissioner, the four propensities of life, who knows what those four propensities are, all living beings are engaged in them. Huh? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, right? You know that? Four, all conditioned souls are engaged in eating, sleeping, mating, but the GBC is different. GBC men are different, they're far above that. They're engaged in eating, sleeping, meeting, and defending. But a lot of times meetings are not that important and they could be done over the telephone. People don't recognize this, but it should be done. Activities in this quadrant 3, they're urgent, but they're not important. You could delegate them to someone else. Or you could just not do them. The test between quadrant 1 and quadrant 3 is, if I didn't do this thing in my life, what would be the result? Would my life come to an end? Would it be catastrophic? Would my business collapse? How urgent is this actually? If I just didn't do it at all. That's where you're going to find the extra time in quadrant 3 to do the things that are really important to me. I'll connect all this in a second. These are things that are pressing, proximate, and popular. This is not Pakistan People's Party. It's pressing, proximate, and popular. They're pressing on us. They're very close to us. The telephone's right there. The interruption is right there. You know, some of the activities are popular, but we really don't need to be doing them because they're not important. They're urgent, but they're not important. We can't stop crisis. That we have to deal with. But quadrant 4, not urgent, not important. Now what do you think about quadrant 4? Any ideas? Completely a waste of time. This is the quadrant of time wasting. And I'll show you some of the neat things that are in there. Not urgent, not important. Trivia. Little small things, doing little things. I love to do minutiae. Somehow or other, I just, from the beginning of my Krishna conscious days, because I was able to do little trivial things like cut vegetables. I could sit all day long and cut vegetables. As long as I had a tape recorder, I could listen to Prabhupada's tapes. I could be completely brainless about the vegetable cutting. Or, you know, whatever it is, cleaning the toilet or something. I have no problem with doing latrine cleaning. That was my favorite service. Because I didn't have to think about it at all. I could just, you know, meditate on tape. So for a devotee, there's no synergy. But for most people, trivia, we shouldn't get involved in it. Busy work. Some people, you know, some jobs, if you don't look busy, then you may get fired. It doesn't matter that the work you're doing is useless, but the boss wants you to look like you're busy. Some people need to be seen. There's a kind of prestige involved about looking busy, busy work, but you're not really getting anything done at all. Television! How many of you have a television? Come on! Okay. the idiot box, right? The boob tube. Now, there may be some educational programs, or Christian Conscious Book Printing may have ITV videos. And I don't mean independent television network in England. I mean this kind of television. They're also called ITV in England, so. It's a waste of time. It's not urgent, and it's not important. It's not going to change your life. And if you really want to do the things that you've decided in your mission statement that you need to do, then there's where you're going to get time. You're going to get time right here. Turn off the boob tube. Throw it out the window. I won't miss it. Okay, here we go, leaders. Time Magazine.
Arthashastra.
Total waste of time. There's nothing in there, but yay, America. Maybe you could have someone, one person in the temple could read it and tell everybody if there's anything important. But otherwise, a lot of times, it's about 2, 3, 4 hours to read Time Magazine, right? You read it quickly? Very good, he doesn't read it. How about you, will you read it? Time Magazine? No? Okay, good. We have some good leaders here. Time wasters, pleasant activities. This is the place where we come when we get frustrated. Generally, people go from quadrant one when they're burned out. They go to quadrant four for a little relaxation. They're burned out, fried to the max, so they go to quadrant four. Life is going by. Now this is where we want to be. Not urgent, but very important. Quadrant 2, the time management matrix. And this is where you want to be. The important things in our lives, but they're not urgent. They don't press upon you. They're things that you can put on the back burner, you can neglect. Because there are other things that are urgent and important, and urgent and not important. Quadrant 1 and Quadrant 3. They're urgent, urgent, urgent. So we put the things that are not urgent on the back burner. All of those good things, like taking care of your health. Making sure that we eat good food and we get good exercise so that our machine operates properly. Mens sane in corpore sano. A sound mind in a sound body. But how many of us neglect our health? Does everybody take care of your health sufficiently? You feel you're taking care of your health? You have any health problems? Anyone have any health problems here? Okay, a lot of us do. And probably the best thing that we could do is just, Prabhupada took a walk every morning. He was religious about taking his morning walk. He said it added 10 years to his life, and he went for an hour walk every morning. And he walked very quickly. It was an aerobic walk for an 80-year-old man. Really? He was. He walked fast. You ask his young disciple. We couldn't keep up with him. But we neglect it because we're too busy in other quadrants. There's so many things. It's not urgent, but very important. Prevention. Doing activities, getting some training, going to a seminar, getting some extra knowledge that will help us to reduce quadrant one crises. It's not urgent. So we never do it. But if we did do it, if we did plan our day in such a way, we'd reduce the crises in our lives and we'd be far more satisfied. Relationship building. You know this word love? What is it? In grammar, what is love? Who can say? It's a noun. Does everybody agree with that? Love a noun? How many people agree in grammar, English grammar? Or in Croatian grammar, or any grammar? Is love a noun?
Da li ljubav imenica?
I think love is a verb.
Ja mislim da je ljubav glagol.
Good. Everybody agrees. Love is actually the feeling love.
Osjećati ljubav
comes when you execute the verb love. The feeling comes when you do something. A relationship is based upon service. You know about Indian marriage. Indian marriage. How many of you saw the movie Mahatma Gandhi? Come on, don't lie. I saw it 3 times. It was a good movie. Actually, devotees don't watch movies because they're time wasters. But sometimes there are good movies that, you know, incidentally, if we see, there's some preaching value there. Prabhupada used to, for example, watch Charlie Chaplin on the plane. And when he was young. But, relationship building. A lot of times people say in marriages, I just don't love my spouse anymore. The feeling's gone. She's not there. Oh, okay. So love him. No, you don't understand. She's not there. Oh, okay. So love her. No, the feeling, it's gone. So do something about it. If we don't take the trouble to do something about our relationship with our spiritual master, how do we develop our love for our spiritual master? Just sit there and radiate good feeling. Ooh. Is that it?
To?
I love you.
I'm bowling.
What do we do?
Što činimo?
We serve.
Služimo.
We render service.
Služimo.
We saw the movie Mahatma Gandhi. The Indian marriage system, Mahatma Gandhi explained to that American reporter about him and his wife how they never met each other when they got married. The wife was chosen and the husband was chosen by the parents according to their astrology and to their social status and various other things. But the loving relationship that they have developed over years of service to each other. Our service to Krishna, we don't know Krishna. But through service, the loving propensity is going to come out. So you have to plan it, and it's a quadrant two activity. If you, it's not urgent. If you don't take the trouble, so supposing you have a bad relationship with someone, you should make an appointment with them. Try to meet them and make deposits in your emotional bank account, in their emotional bank account. There's a metaphor of a bank account. Everybody knows you add money and your deposits build up and your bank account grows. And if you spend all the money in your bank account, you're overdrawn. When you want to purchase something, the bank won't honor your check because you're overdrawn. So there's an emotional bank account between us, between different people. And there's deposits. And there's withdrawals. We'll talk about that later on. But this is relationship building. You have to do something in quadrant two. And it'll affect your leadership, it'll affect your management, it'll affect your life. Recognizing new opportunities, a leader, whether it's a leader of a family, the leader of a temple, the leader of a zone, the leader of the movement, you have to be looking. You have to have time to think and reflect. How can our family become a better family? How can our temple become the best temple in Croatia? What are the opportunities there? If you're just caught up in busy work, trivia, urgent crises, getting yourself burned in pride and crisping, you know? fried Corella, then you're not going to have the vision. You're not going to be able to see the future. You've got to create that time by quadrant through planning. Recreation. Now, recreation is a good thing, and I'm not talking about playing golf. I'm not talking about becoming the best tennis player in Croatia. Who's that guy? Milovan Slavodovic? I can't remember. What's his name? Ivanovic. Anyway, whatever. So, recreation doesn't mean that kind of waste of time. Recreation means things that recreate you, rejuvenate you. This camp is recreation. Here's we're feeling inspired and alive and we're learning. We're having a good time. We're going swimming. It's going to be sunny tomorrow. Right? Let's be positive. It's going to be sunny tomorrow. How do you do? So recreation, it can be good for you. Ben Franklin, right? The father of American democracy, one of the founding fathers of America. Smart man, he was vegetarian, he also read the Vedas. He said, if you're failing to plan, then what? If you're failing to plan, then you're planning to fail. It's so true, folks. We have to plan our lives, even our Krishna conscious lives. Just because we're going Arya Krishna, doesn't mean that we're completely free from all the rules of material nature. Plan. You have to plan the next marathon, you have to plan the camp so that, you know, you've got pots and pans and prasadam is on time. You have to plan everything. The devotees here have actually done a very nice job of planning to put on this camp. And if they hadn't done it, if we'd all just showed up and say, look, we're doing Raganuga Bhakti here, spontaneous devotion, that would be all great. We'd be all enthusiastic, but we'd have nowhere to sleep, nowhere to pass, nowhere to eat, you know. You've got a plan. Sadhana before Raganuga. The characteristics of quadrant two, it contributes to your mission. Quadrant two will help you to fulfill that mission statement that you created. You envision what you want to do, the really important thing. That's a whole other discussion, creating a mission statement. It's so important. And it takes some. You can do it. Little expertise. Requires proactivity because quadrant two activities are not urgent. It reduces quadrant one. It gives great overall satisfaction. Results of quadrant two, you get vision and perspective in your life, balance. You're balanced. You're not just one side or the other. Mahatma Gandhi used to say that you cannot do well in one department of life while doing poorly in another department of life. All the departments of your life are an indivisible whole. There's connectivity in your life, your family life, your business life. So many people in today's society, they have no understanding of where they want to go, and they'll do anything to climb the ladder of success. And they climb up the ladder of success, neglecting everybody, harming everybody, stepping on everybody. They get to the top of the ladder. And then they realize that the ladder's leaning against the wrong wall. It's not really where they wanted to go. They've had three divorces, the kids hate them, their health is terrible. Hey, they're at the top! Society told them, just climb up this ladder, you'll be successful, you'll have money, fame, name.
ime slavu.
But it wasn't what they really wanted.
To ono što se zaista želeli.
They let somebody else set the agenda for their lives. They didn't take the trouble to look inside their own hearts to see what was really valuable, important,
važno.
So we need to have a balance in our lives. Discipline.
Disciplina.
Quadrant 2 will give you discipline. Control. Quadrant 2 will actually give you a feeling that you are calling the shots. You're living your life by choice. You're not being forced. You're not being pushed. But you've chosen and made your choices. And that is the feeling of quadrant 2. Very few crises. So, right now, I'd like to make a little demonstration for you. Everybody see this? Okay.
Je li puno?
Ha? Ha? You're pretty much full?
Gotovo puno?
No? Not full? How many people say it's full?
Ko kaže da je puno?
A lot of you think it's full. Okay. It looks pretty full to me.
Gledam, zaista puno.
Ha?
Ha?
Those of you who are in last year's camp, shut up.
Okay.
Let's see if we can get some more in there. Now is it full?
Is that puno?
Huh? How many people say it's full now?
Ljudi kaže da je sad puno. Ko kaže?
How many people say it's full now?
Ljudi kaže puno.
So what's the point of this?
Šta je poanta ovoga?
In terms of time management.
Vezano za menadžiranje vremena.
What's the point? Who's got an idea?
Ko ima ideju?
Anybody who wasn't here last summer.
Neko ko nije bio prošle ljeta ovdje.
What do you think? What's the point of this example, sir? What do you think?
Što mislite?
These big rocks here are like the important things in your life. And the small ones are like trivia. So what point am I trying to demonstrate here? Huh? Somebody said that life has got little corners and cracks and crevices. And if you just try harder, you can always get more in between the spaces. Does that sound right? All right. The point actually is, I think all of you know it. If I hadn't put the big rocks in first, I never would have gotten any of them in at all. So, deciding that, again going back to quadrant 2, what are the important things, really important things, but are not urgent? If we don't keep a plan book, journal, and write down daily, focusing weekly, what are the important things in my life, and put a place for them in our schedule, they're not going to get done, even though they're the really big thing. Now here we have, I don't think you can see this very well. It's a neat drawing, but unfortunately it's not so visible to you. This is called the six-step process. And the first process is six steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The first step is called connect to mission.
Povezati sa misijom.
Connect to mission. Every week,
svaki tjedan,
a good
dobar
leader,
lider,
a good leader,
dobar
life
lider,
manager,
life
leader. He plans
planira,
or organizes his life on a weekly basis. And the first step is to connect to your mission. We talked about a mission statement. Everybody should have a written mission of how they see their future, what they want to do. I'll just show you my mission statement a little bit later on. I'll share that with you. If a man knows what harbor he seeks, any wind is the right wind. By Seneca, the Greek philosopher. You heard of Seneca? If a man knows the harbor that he's headed to, then any wind is the right wind. This is my mission statement, and I connect to it every day. I read it. Mostly I know it, but I connect to it every day because it gives me focus. My mission is to serve my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, with all my heart and soul. He saves me from drowning in the darkness of ignorance in this miserable material world. He brought the torchlight of knowledge, the devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Absolute Truth Personality of Godhead, is the highest goal of human life. I was forced to open my eyes to achieve this goal has now become my only reason for living. So, at the beginning of every week on Sunday I go over this, and every morning also I try to read it at least once a day, because I forget very easily what I'm working for. I get caught up in doing so many things, and at the end of the day I forget that it's for Krishna, it's for Prabhupada that I'm working. So I want to reconnect to my mission. Out of a great sense of debt for having shown me the path, I want to become a sharp instrument to be used by Srila Prabhupada in his mission to flood the world with love of Krishna. Nimitta Matra Bhava Savya Sachin. Krishna tells Arjuna, just become my instrument. And so I want to be an instrument for Prabhupada. I want to be a sharp, effective instrument. I'll do any service for Prabhupada. It doesn't matter. Cleaning the bathroom is just as much fun as worshipping the deities, or distributing books, or making life members, or managing a temple, or cooking for the deities, or raising children for Krishna. It's all the same energy, spiritual energy, and it's very enlivening. And we should become expert at whatever we do, because it reflects on Srila Prabhupada. Whatever service we have to do at this time, at this moment, we should put all of our energy to become the very best we can. We're in competition with ourselves to become the very best we can. I want to be an instrument. I will strive to achieve excellence in all my activities, eternal and temporal. Not only eternal, but in my, if I have to go to the bank for Krishna, there's two things. There's conditional activities and constitutional. Constitutional means doing RT, chanting japa, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, these are eternal activities. And there's conditional activities. In the spiritual world, you don't have to get a permit for Harinam.
Okay?
All the permits have already been given full time. You don't have to go to the bank, because every tree is a wish-fulfilling desire tree, kalpavriksha. The sorbi cows that give unlimited qualities of milk and everything else. A beautiful place, the spiritual world. But that doesn't mean that I neglect my material life, my material. Prabhupada wanted us to be better than non-devotees in our service. We should become known as the very best, and we're a devotee of Krishna on top of it. I will struggle to rise above my lower animal nature, my conditioning of the lowest of birth, and my lack of cultural training. I will strive to become a perfect gentleman as desired by Srila Prabhupada of all his disciples. How many of you know that Srila Prabhupada very often opened doors for ladies to go through? Prabhupada was a perfect gentleman. He did so many things as a gentleman. He said, my disciples will be recognized. How will we recognize your disciples? They'll be recognized because they're perfect gentlemen, not because they're macho brahmacharis. He didn't say that. I never heard him say that. He said, perfect gentlemen. I will study his books regularly and thoroughly. Now I struggle with my mission statement. I'm trying to achieve it. I'm not saying I'm achieving it. But it's there for me to meditate on. I know where I'm going. I know what my harbor is. And I strive. I struggle very hard. A devotee asked Prabhupada, what makes you happy, Prabhupada? He said, I'm happy when I see you struggling. He wasn't being mean or nasty. You have to struggle in the material world. Nobody gives you a piece of cake. Nobody gives you a big house and a car and unlimited bank accounts and all the ladies you can ever think to enjoy and this and that. You have to go out and work in the material world and struggle. It's dog eat dog. It's the rat race. It's survival of the fittest. So if you struggle for Krishna consciousness, then you get a very wonderful result. If you struggle for Maya, you're doomed. Old age, disease, and death. You don't have to be an astrologer. You know? I will strive to overcome my false ego, which may act as an obstacle. I will meditate upon and try to imbibe the 26 qualities of a pure devotee. I will manage my time to be always active in quadrant to activities of devotional service. I will not over-endeavor, but will strive for quality in my work and relationship. I will be constantly on guard against committing offenses to other vaishnavas. I know that I, in interacting with other, my god brothers and other vaishnavas, my, even my own disciples, whatever it is, I commit offenses. I know that. I'm not perfect. But I want to. I want to become perfect for Srila Prabhupada because I love him. I want to become a better person. So I want to recognize the offenses that I've committed against others and beg them to forgive me. It's important. Asking for forgiveness, saying you're sorry. Saying sorry is the quality of a great leader. It's not an admission that you're a weak person. It's the admission that you're a strong person and you can get down on your knees a little bit and say you're sorry and humble yourself. And then you'll be empowered by God to rise to great height by bowing down. I will not over-endeavor, but will strive for quality in my work and relationships. I'll constantly be on guard against committing offenses to other vaishnavas. Having realized that in previous years of association with devotees, I must have committed so many offenses due to my gross and careless nature. I will sincerely try to recognize those offenses, beg forgiveness from those offenders, and atone for them as best I can. I will continually evaluate my progress, getting input from my peers. We need to ask people, how am I doing? How can I get better? We need to get feedback. We need to get input from the people you're dealing with. Ask people. If you want to know how you're doing, ask your peers, ask them. Confidentially, have a meeting, give them some input and say, you know, can you help me? You've got any ideas how I can become a better devotee? Step two, we talked about step one, was connect with your mission. I didn't finish reading that, but I think, unfortunately, I guess I can go backwards. I will continually evaluate my progress, getting input from my peers, Despite all obstacles, personal and incidental, I will not cease from struggling to improve my character and obtain his mercy to be finally accepted by Srila Prabhupada as his humble servant. Now this is my mission statement. Every one of you would have a slightly different mission statement. It would be connected to serving Guru and Krishna, I know. But there's different ways which you might want to serve Krishna and Guru. I don't have a family, I'm a sannyasi. A householder might see that one of his, part of his mission was to bring up a healthy, happy family to be good devotees of Krishna. That may be important. Someone else may have a mission to distribute so many books. That might be part of his mission statement. In his life, at the end of his life, who, what are we going to think about when we hear the name Navina Nirada? At the end of his life, when he's older, what comes to mind about Navina Nirada? The king of Sankirtan, the greatest book distributor that ever lived, right? Or pretty close. I don't think anyone will defeat him yet. So, create a mission statement and focus on it. Then step two, this is the six-step process. Review your role. Every man has only enough strength to complete those assignments that he is fully convinced are important. So we have to see in our eyes. I'm a book distributor, that's one of my roles. I'm a husband or a wife, that's another role. I'm a temple president, that's another role. We have different roles. Identify your roles in your life. And then for each role, you can create goals. In each role, what do you want to achieve, both long-term and short-term? This is quadrant two, important thinking. No one's forcing you to do it, but if you do do it, if you do become part of that 3% who achieves more than the 97% put together, it'll be because you wrote it down and you reflected on it daily. Identify your goals. Ask yourself, what is the most important thing I could do in each goal this week that would have the greatest positive impact? Now in each role, it's not going to get done because it's not urgent. There's so many urgent things that will fill up your time and you won't get those urgent things done. I mean, those important things done. So think about it. What one thing in each role will have an impact on me achieving my mission statement? I've connected to my mission, I've reviewed my roles in my life. Now in each role, what's one goal or two goals for this week? Consider your relationships in each role. How are they connected? What are you doing? Who's involved? Who are the different stakeholders? Persons involved. Identify the steps to be taken for long term. That's three. Distinctive elements of effective weekly goals. We're talking about goals, goal setting, on a weekly basis. Not on a daily basis, but on a weekly basis. It's a better picture, a week. They can either be an area of focus or a specific area you schedule. They're usually quadrant two goals rather than typical to-do list or daily actions. We can write down so many things that we have to do every day, but those are usually not things that are going to have a great impact on our mission, our life's mission. We want to find out at the beginning of the week the things that are the big rocks which we must do. They are driven by our conscience. Step four, organize weekly. Now, the perspective of the week provides a powerful solution that links close up view of the day to the big picture in a balanced, realistic way. So, this diagram is very nice. This is the close-up view of daily planning. You've got 24 hours ahead of you, and you plan the whole day. You plan your lunch, you plan your breakfast, you plan the seminar, you plan getting your washing done, you plan so many things. And your day easily fills up very quickly with things to do. but it's close-up view. Just like if you go to a mountain, a beautiful mountain, from a long ways away, you get a wide-angle view. You see this big, tall mountain, snow on the top, some trees, and you get a certain view of it. It looks nice. Maybe it's cold up there, but you're going camping. It looks okay. It's a famous mountain. Then you get up on the mountain, and you see so many trees, flowers, bushes, birds, animals. You get a different perspective. And then you get on a trail, and you're walking down a trail, and you come up to a bush, and you see a little bush with some specific kind of rare flower. And you get close up to it with your camera, and you want to take a picture of it. Now, there's a close-up view where you don't see the rest of the mountain. There's the wide-angle view where you don't see the detail. Like there's a month, there's a week, and a day. The day represents the close-up view where you don't get a big perspective. The month is a little bit too big. Some people can plan a month ahead, a month at a time, a month ahead, but most of us can't. For most of us, weekly planning is very good. The wide-angle view, and then there's a gap in between. So here's the normal view. In between the close-up and the wide-angle is weekly organized. So this is how you want to plan your life. If you're failing to plan, then you're planning to fail. And this is a good way to plan your life a week at a time. And the fifth step is exercise integrity in the moment of choice. We do not suddenly become what we do not cooperate in becoming. Exercise integrity at the moment of choice. Now this is something that I just attended a seminar on First Things First in America. One of the main reasons I went to this seminar is because this is an area where I find most of us need a great deal of work. We make so many plans to do the right thing. We fix our minds, we want it, whatever it is, go to Srimad Bhagavatam class, attend Guru Puja, chant our rounds nicely, have a nice Krishna conscious meal at noon. We make plans to do things. We want to spend time with ourselves. We make an appointment for some quiet time. We all need quiet time. We've got it all planned and then something comes up. There's an interruption. And then we just collapse. We give in. Someone invites us out for, a pizza. We're supposed to spend time with our, our organizing, and we're supposed to have a meeting with our teenage daughter to discuss life or whatever it is. But we don't exercise integrity at the moment of choice. This is the reactive model. It's proactive and reactive. That quadrant one, proactive. This is the reactive model. Stimulus and response. Nothing in between. Just like an animal. You react according to the stimuli. You respond. Here is a proactive model. There's stimulus, but then there's this gap here. This is the moment of truth. The moment of choice. How are you going to respond? You have your schedule. You have your vision and mission. Now, how are you going to act in this moment of choice? This is where we need to strengthen our will. We have four human endowments. Self-awareness, creative imagination, conscience, and independent will. And these four endowments help us in the moment of choice. Make the right choice to make a principle-centered decision, a Krishna-conscious decision. Our own self-awareness of what we're doing, our ability to stand out from the activity and look at it and analyze it. That self-awareness that animals don't have, human beings have this endowment. They can look at an activity and decide, is it a good thing or a bad thing? We have creative imagination by which we can conceive of a solution to the problem in a very creative way, using our imagination. We have our conscience, which gives us a sense of direction, true north, Krishna consciousness, Paramatma, conscience, Paramatma, and we have independent will. We can choose. Human endowments for integrity, self-awareness, creative imagination, conscience, and independent will. Exercising these four endowments will help us in achieving integrity in the moment of choice. Step 6 is evaluate. We must wait until the evening to see how splendid the day has been by Sophocles. It's a fact that at the end of every day, or especially at the end of the week, we should analyze how we've done. Did we achieve the goals that we set out to achieve, and if not, why, and how can we improve next week? Mark your goals that you've accomplished, different ways you can evaluate, keep a journal of activities, ask yourself specific questions on performance and actions, weekly personal and professional evaluation of your life, professional needs of professional life. What did I learn from the week as a whole? Am I setting goals that are realistic and yet they're challenging? We should set goals that we can achieve, but they should also push us a little to go higher. Sometimes people say that Krishna consciousness is too high. Prabhupada didn't know that Westerners can't follow the four regulative principles. They can only follow three. No meat, no fish, no eggs. But if you set your goals here, then you're going to come here. If you set your goals here, then you're going to come here. And if you set your goals here, you may fall short of the ideal, but at least you'll be up here. Prabhupada gave us a good standard. He's the acharya. He knows what was best for us. We have to strive and struggle and be humble when we can't achieve perfection. We have to keep trying. But we should never change the solid principles that Prabhupada gave us. Have I been successful in maintaining Kwadrat 2 perspective this week? He is in possession of his life, who is in possession of his story. I'm a German philosopher there. In other words, we have to evaluate. We have to know our life and evaluate, get input from our peers, from our God brothers and God sisters. We sometimes need a coach to help us how we're doing. Peter Drucker said, Peter Drucker is the guru, one of the all-time famous gurus of business management. Very famous. There's no businessman here, but whatever. Let me tell you, it's famous. Effective people are not problem-minded, they're opportunity-minded. They're not problem-minded. Effective people don't see problems, they're not victims of situations. Effective people see everything that happens to them in their life as an opportunity to learn and to make progress and to be successful. They see it as an opportunity. It's not a problem. There's nothing that's a problem. It's only an opportunity for you to learn and get better, to be a better instrument. They feed opportunities. They feed them. They starve problems. They don't see things as problems. They only see opportunities. They think preventively. They work in quadrant 2. They spend their time planning, building relationships,
planiraju da
izađu odnose, da dobiju znanje koje će pomoći da budu bolji u svom životu. They don't see it as a waste of time. To ne vidi
kao traćenje vremena.
One devotee was telling me about a temple where there was one devotee. It was a very competitive temple. And they were very interested in quantity over quality. It was a big problem that we have sometimes. We simply stress quality. We reward rather quantity. We reward quantity. Whoever gets the greatest number of points, he gets all the praise. Everybody else below, you know, we neglect. Sometimes that happens. Just quantity. Who's ever the biggest, the best, the greatest, like that. We forget that the real bottom line, Krishna prema, is not about quantity. It's about quality. Krishna says, Yome bhakta prayachati. You give me a fruit, a flower, a leaf, it doesn't matter. I don't want quantity. I want the quality of your love. Yome bhakta prayachati. So, this temple was very typical Istan temple, only quantity. But there was one devotee who spent a lot of his time reading and studying Prabhupada's books and even statistics a little and other things, but mostly Prabhupada. He was very studious. So, naturally, all the devotees thought, he's a
Brahmana.
He's a devotee, but, you know, he's useless, right? They're just all the time, just lying around, reading, whatever. So this was going on for a few years, and then finally one day, this devotee got inspired. And he went out and started to preach. It was during the Christmas marathon. But somehow or other, he had gained so much knowledge by study. And he had become so effective in presenting the philosophy, and he was so convinced about it. Srila Prabhupada, every year, the GBC men would come to Mayapur, he'd call them into his room, and he would look at his leaders, his most important disciples. He would look at them and he would say, Convinced yet? Ask them a simple question. Are you convinced? Somehow or other, by this reading and by meditating and whatever, this devotee, although he didn't seem to be active, but he became very convinced about Krishna consciousness, and he became the most effective, quantitatively and qualitatively preacher in that temple. So, he think. Preventively, do things that will help us to reduce the crisis in our lives, in our temples, in our missions. Do things with planning that will help us, empower us to have the ability to do very big things. It may appear in the beginning like it's inaction, but one who sees action in inaction. Inaction. In other words, let's work. We're already working harder than anybody else. I don't know of anybody. When I tell people I get up at 3:30 in the morning, you know, sometimes they like say, my God, such an ungodly hour. You ever heard that? Ungodly hour? It's actually the most godly hour. They're shocked to get up at 3:30 in the morning. And then we work all the way through till 10:30. Last night we got to bed at 11 o'clock. I don't want to do that tonight, so I'm going to end right now. But we're already working harder. We just have to learn how to work smarter. And that's what first things first, putting first things first in your life will help you. So again, we're back to this continuum. We talked about be proactive, begin with the end in mind, first things first, this is private victory.
going from
dependence on others and their agenda, what they eat, what they do, what they clothes they wear, etc. Now we're achieving private victory where we do the things that we set values on. We're becoming independent, first things first. Tomorrow we're going to talk about having 4, 5, 6, and 7. Interdependence, going from non-reality of independence. We can't be independent actually in life. We have to be interdependent. The reality is we do depend on others. But this is a very interesting concept here. Independence and interdependence.
Okay.
If any of you have any questions, then you can write them down on a piece of paper or whatever. And give them to my assistant,
Nolan
Prabhu, and I'll try to answer them tomorrow, or otherwise, class or something like that. Thank you very much.